Hi, I'm Bobby, a food addict from Waltham, Mass, and I'm just going to show. So I came into program 25 and probably like 25 and a half years ago now, maybe 25 and some change. March 8th of 2000 was my first meeting. And, you know, as I was walking in today, I was walking in with somebody and I had the pleasure to meet a new person. And I said, as I was walking in, my whole trajectory of my life was changed that night that I walked in here. And so I'm going to tell you how. So first of all, I'm sorry you people on the phone can't see, but I'll give you my number so you can have a visual. I'm 4'11", and I walked in here 25-plus years ago at 260 pounds. So I really was as wide as I was tall, at least my rear end was, definitely. My top always, I could still wear normal lady-sized large tops, but I had to wear what I've got in my hand is my skirt that I was walking in there, and a lot of you have seen my skirt because you've been in meetings with me. It is a size 24, I believe. Yeah, 24 wide. And it is something. And I do not wear that now, anywhere near a size 24. I came in and I lost about 130 pounds and, you know, maintaining probably anywhere sometimes that goes up 5 pounds or down or whatever. And it depends. You know, my body has changed. Gravity has taken effect. And because of losing all that weight, I have what I like to call Miami wings, which are lots of loose skin in my arms, bat wings, if you want to call them that. But, you know, I don't give a rat's ass anymore about that because, you know, that's my war wounds. I did that to my body. You know, I didn't go out. So when I was a kid, I wasn't fat. I was kind of a picky eater, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I was restrictive from the time I was – I hated my body from the time I was 10 and a half, 11 years old to the – maybe today. I don't know. That changes. I still struggle with body dysmorphia. I sit down again. Yeah. I still struggle with body dysmorphia. You know, that's just something I always will. As a teenager, from the time I was 13 till I was 25 about, I was on the other end of the spectrum. I was a restrictor. I did stick my finger down my throat a couple of times, so I was bulimic, but mostly I was a restrictor. I just wouldn't eat for days or a couple of days or all day, but I am a hardcore sugar addict. I really am. So I wouldn't eat all day or maybe 2 days or whatever, so that I could have a big thing of something that's made of sugar. And we keep it in the freezer, you know, and or anything made of sugar, anything, sugar and flour, sugar and flour. I don't know if I ever ate a normal meal. I probably did as a kid because I had no choice, or even when I was a teenager. I just had a very crazy mind about my food, and I was obsessed all the time of how I was going to get that sweet thing. And, you know, it wasn't really readily available at my home. My mom and dad were not big sugar eaters. My mom a little bit more than my dad, but she was controlled. So, and through college, I didn't gain, although I decided to drink my sugar instead of having it in the solid form. So I could qualify for that club too. I also qualify for many clubs because I have an addictive personality. But food, when I crossed the line in the big book, where you no longer can go back, you know, they say you can't become, once you're a cucumber, you can't be a pickle again or vice versa, you know. Well, once I crossed and I became a pickle, there was no longer an ability for me to stop eating. And I'm glad it was the food. And I thank God every single day it was food and not the other things that could have been, a myriad of things that could have been. And I'm going to be honest, I would not have come in here had my weight not shown up on my body. I'm that kind of an addict. So I applaud those people who were smart enough to know their brain was crazy. That was not me. God had to make me really suffer. I have to have a lot of pain before I make a change, and that's just my truth. And so at 260 pounds, and I realized I could not stop. I could not stop. I destroyed a complete freezer case at Stop and Shop once, looking for my boyfriend, Ben and Jerry. And when I was done and I found it, and it was just like a heroin addict getting a fix, I was calm. I found that freezer burned flavor and what I needed. I absolutely had to have it. And I looked at that case and I thought, what the hell? These people should take better care of their freezer cases. And I realized as I walked away that it was me. Now, I did not run to OA after that incident, just so you'll know. But I knew I was in trouble. And I was in another 12-step program, and somebody broke their anonymity. And so they told me about some meetings that were in Waltham. And at the time, they were huge meetings. There were like 60 people. And there was two of them. There was on a Wednesday, and there was one on a Monday night. And I went March 8th, it was a Wednesday night, to this meeting. But before that, I had seen my doctor the previous October for my physical. And my doctor said to me, she took my blood pressure, and my blood pressure was, I don't know, the top number might have been 200 and something. I don't know what it was. But my bottom number was 150, which meant, and she said it, she was a cardiologist who was just starting to open up her own practice. So that's why she was working as a PCP also, taking new patients. God has a funny sense of humor. They tell you God does for you what you can't do for yourself, one of our big sayings in here. And sure enough, and she said to me, if you don't do something, you're going to be dead by the time you're 45. And she also said, you know, your family history is far too frightening for you to fool around with this. She never said, hey, you're too fat, or why are you fat? I had a doctor say that to me once, too. Why are you so fat? Well, crap, if I had known that, I wouldn't be sitting here, would I? You know, I didn't go back to her, maybe one more time. But I will tell you, I left that woman's office that was so rude to me and had to make a stop for something sweet. That'll show them, right? That'll show her. So then, anyways, this other doctor's was much different. And so I got my blood pressure medicine and I joined OA. And from March 8th to March 31st, I lost 31 pounds. And that was just because I gave up sugar and flour. Well, I didn't know about the flour at the time. And I heard that I had to I heard about three meals and nothing in between. I didn't have a sponsor yet, so I didn't know. But everything. But that's a lot of weight to lose. That goes to show how much I was shoving in my mouth. And when I walked in that, I did not come into OA to lose weight because I honestly thought I have so much to lose, it'll never, ever, ever happen. It is like overwhelming when you have that kind of weight to lose, or at least for me, overwhelming. I just could not imagine like that would ever happen. But I knew the key was in the steps. So I'm one of the few people that came in for the steps and got the vanity. You know, I didn't come in for the vanity because I honest to God didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't understand. And I fell into the 90-day program. I had no idea there was any other way to work the program. Found that out later on. And so came into program and, you know, I'm a joiner. I love people. I'm incredibly friendly. You know, anybody that knows me knows that. And so for me, no, these people, I saw their pictures. I heard their story. I'm seeing them up in front of the room. And some of them, I could hardly believe they're telling me the truth. There was a man in that meeting that had lost a huge amount of weight, and he told my story. How could a man have, you know, they always can get a girlfriend. They always, that's what I thought. So I always apologized to the men in the room, and on this case on the phone, because I was really ignorant and didn't realize that they were suffering the same way I was. So that kicked off my weight loss, and that kicked off everything else. I joined a close study of the 12 steps that is not part of OA because there's rules there and everything. And I got a sponsor on March 25th, and I started working the program the way it's laid out and the way I still do on March 26th. But March 25th, I got a sponsor at the Newton Wellesley meeting, and she gave me this like phone list. It was like 5 pages long. And, you know, she said, you know, start calling people. Maybe that was the next day. I don't remember. But I do remember going that day. I went to meet my mom. My mom had gone was rushed to the hospital that day with renal failure. And my mother died 4 months after I was in program. I was newly absent. I had gotten my 90 days. But I did do that tool of the phone. My sponsor said, pick three names off, and I picked these people off. And one of the people I picked off said to me, oh, I haven't been in program in, like, forever. And she said, but, you know, after talking to you, I think I'll go back. So you did me more good than I've probably done you. And that's amazing. So these things happened. And then, of course, I made connections because I used the telephone. And because I was in that 12-step closed study, all of a sudden, and I was going to a meeting almost every single night because I could not settle myself down to, I was an eater in front of the TV. So I didn't know what to do with myself. Plus, my detox was horrific, horrific, awful, awful. I was exhausted. I would have to come home and put myself in bed. I would have to, you know, have to work. I had the chills and feet. Like, it was awful. I would never want to go through that again. I don't know about anybody else's experience, but that was mine. And so, which goes to show and prove that sugar for me and flour is a drug, because normally you wouldn't have that happen to you. Other people go to programs, other programs than ours, or probably even our program, and don't have that experience. These people came and surrounded themselves and lifted me and kept me safe. And were showed up for my mother's memorial service. And then 6 months later, my dad died. He had been in a nursing home. So my mom got to see me 50 pounds down. My dad got to see me 110 pounds less. And he was very happy for me, of course. And my mother was very happy, too, that I was losing this weight. But the miracle isn't just the weight loss. So that's what I want to talk about. So the weight went down, and, you know, I got rid of the weight. Of course, other stuff that I'm addicted to, realize, because now I can wear all these beautiful clothes and I'm out like shopping like a crazy woman. So I'm in a program to deal with that too. But that's not what I want to focus on. So I did the tools. Like they said, I've always done the literature. One of the things that I did when I was brand new that helped me was I read, it's not one of our conference approved literatures. It's something off, something else, but it helped me. I would read that before I sat down for my lunch. I'd eat my lunch, and then I would read it after I ate my lunch. And that kind of helped me also. And I have to say, it was my first night I came in. And when I came home, I thought, you know, this weighing and measuring stuff or whatever they're talking about, this not eating sugar and flour stuff or whatever it was, I heard sugar, like I said. I thought, well, if it works for them, why the heck wouldn't it work for me? So I got on my knees that night because I heard somebody say that that's what they did. And I just said, God, please take away this compulsion of mine to eat sugar. And it was lifted. Boom, like that. The next day, I ate my three little meals because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. I probably did have, you know, a flour product. Or I don't guess they really made a flour anymore. They might be a different kind of, whatever, doesn't matter. And like I said, the weight fell off. So I did that until March 26th, I guess. And then I started to work. And I called that woman that I asked to be my sponsor. After my mother was in the hospital, we didn't know if she was going to even make it through that night or anything. And I got up at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, which, believe you me, I did not do in those days, and called this lady. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but as an addict, or me too, a wonderful procrastinator, I work on that all the time. Normally, I would have said, screw this. I've got other stuff going on. I'm not calling that lady. I'll do it another time, or forget about that OA stuff. I'll just wait. But I did it. So that's a miracle in itself. And she was lovely, lovely, super supportive. And so I did that, and I called her in a godly hour, you know, got up, call her, and then I went back to sleep because I was doing what program has given me now as a career. So I'm going to move on. So then I did that. I just followed what my sponsor said. I didn't argue. Look, she had lost 85 pounds. She looked tremendous. Her hair and makeup looked great. She was calm and handling really horrible things going on in her life at the time. Divorce, foreclosures, a kid with drug issues and everything. Yet, smiling, thank you, and not screaming at people. And that's another thing. I put sugar in my body, and I'm an awful rager. I'm that road rage person. You know, I always say, thank God, God made me a 4'11" woman instead of a 6'4" guy, because I'd be in jail. I would have killed somebody, and that's not a lie, or being melodramatic. That's just the honest to God truth. I used to carry a tire iron behind my seat in the car, thinking I'm going to get out and beat the crap out of somebody. So there you go. Let me take my last 5 minutes to tell you how a program really did change the trajectory of my life. So I came in, and I had always wanted to be a school teacher my whole life, and from the time I was 9 years old. I went to college to do that, graduated, and there was no teaching jobs available. And so I kind of fell into the business world. And I did that for years and years and years until I came into program. And a woman who's no longer in program, she kind of got me back into the teaching. And she and another job I went to, I had a gentleman that I applied for a job that said to me, you know, you spend way too much time in work to do something you're not passionate about and that you don't love. And so I was thinking about that. And that's another story I can tell you another time if anybody's interested. I don't want to take up the time to that wonderful story. But he had a big impact. And so I decided I wanted to go back into teaching, and I had to go in as a teaching assistant, and was making a third of what I made as an admin assistant for one of the owners of a company. And so I had to live on my 401k, so that's why I'm going to have to keep working until I'm 110 or whenever I drop dead. Anyways, and also I heard people in programs share how they went back to school and got new careers and they did things. And I went back and got my master's. I was 48 years old and did a two-year program. That was what I wanted to do. Through Simmons College, and I got my master's in education, and I have been working as a special educator in various places, but the place I now am in and have no intention of leaving right now is a school that's a special ed school, and I teach science, which is hysterical, because if any of my teachers, and I'm going to be teaching physics this year, and I've done it before, if my teachers from science knew that I was teaching science, they're probably rolling over or laughing, you know, because science and math, which is the two subjects I have taught at this school, were my worst subjects in high school, you know. And one little boy once told me that maybe I'm such a good math teacher because I knew what it was like to struggle. And I thought that was the sweetest thing that a 14-year-old boy could ever say to me. And this kid told the truth too many times, so we knew he wasn't blowing smoke up my skirt, as we like to say. So I've been working there now. I'm coming into my 12th year, and I love where I am. I have never worked anywhere where the staff and everything is as great. You know, even my kids, when they're annoying me and they're hanging on my last good nerve, I still love them. You know, and I work with high school kids, and I'll be teaching bio and physics this year. Last year I did bio and text engineering, which again is another hysterical thing if you think of and knew me about building things. But I do it, and I can do it, but I can only do it because I have a clear head, because it's not food fogged. I could not do this job. Could not do this job if I was still raging, because they would have fired me because I would have killed one of the kids, you know, maybe not literally killed. So first thing I really want to say is the steps. The first thing that we do as food addicts or people who are struggling, the best thing and the hardest thing is that first step of saying, walking in these rooms, that's the hardest, because we sound like we're crazy people. You know, what does this have to do with food? By doing those steps, by saying I'm powerless over food and my life has become unmanageable and all that work I've done on the big book and everything else, you know, putting that food down, putting those boundaries. I'm free. I had a bunch of vacations this summer. I'm getting ready to go on another vacation in a week. You know, I've spent a lot of time down the Cape, which I love, but I couldn't have done any of those things. Nobody would want to be around me, and I would be dead. I would have followed my parents very quickly or before they even passed. So that step,
Helen,
thank you.